This year, the South Shore Science Festival is going virtual once again. It's coming up on Saturday, April 23rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Happens to be Earth Day this year as well. We want to welcome to the program to learn a little bit more about it. Manuel Barroso is here along with some participants, longtime participants. So Manuel, first, good to see you and thanks for joining us and talking about the Science Festival this year.
Thank you for having us, Joe. Really appreciate that, the time on this, and welcome to all the community, all the people, not only in the South Shore, but also across Massachusetts and the U.S. And we've been lucky to have, now when we went virtual, people from other countries start discover about the Science Festival, they start to join in as well. So that's great. And also I'm pleased to have join us today, Raj Kavala, Annika Kavala, as well as Nanine there. They will introduce themselves, but they really have been, as you mentioned, a long time part of the Science Festival, a part of the success of the festival as well.
For folks who aren't aware, Manuel, if you could just give us a little background about the festival itself, how it all got started and what its mission is.
Sure. So we started years back. It was initially initiated with a group of members from the Quincy Center for Innovation, and including Kathy Hogan, Eric, a few others, to really to start inviting young generations to really get into STEM area, into science, technology, engineering, mathematics, but also not only say, oh, it's just a profession, but how fun is it? Is that something interests you to really, you can enjoy having fun, almost like having a hobby for life. You can actually make a good life for just if you enjoy what you're doing and you discover that. And also is give opportunity to people or to all the kids and teenagers to discover new areas, right? Because we have people from large corporations like Boston Scientific, from schools, from entrepreneurs, from medium-sized companies, the Sol Systems as well, that bring that into the same floor to actually share what they do, the discoveries, and also get to talk to other people, including Nobel laureates, including and these discoverers that they come and share their innovations, and then they can just talk in the same floor with everybody.
And when the festivals were being held in person, and hopefully they will be again in the future, the actual companies will come and meet attendees and actually show off what they do, right?
Right, right. We have, you know, we have to limit to up to 50 presenters. You know, guys are lying, you know, sometimes up to 70 presenters. And we have bunch, you know, three floors, as you will remember, three floors of activities happening, all interactive for those 5 hours. For those 5 hours. And then we have people going to the different floors according to their age to enjoy what they do like the most. Could be some of them were lectures, some of them were workshops, some of them were activities that they can participate hands-on. And we have the Museum of Science as well. So that's what was happening there. During those activities. So it's that's been super interactive. The only reason with COVID came in, so there were two options, either stop the festival or transition to become virtual. So we transitioned to become virtual. And actually was pleasantly surprised to start growing with all these people in the different communities. Now it's going across different states and also gig an opportunity to engage people from other places like Dr. Caleb, who is the chief cartographer from Mars, that joined us last year, joining us from California. We have a Nobel laureate that joined us from Australia. Those kind of things were not able to do that before because everything was physically here. Now that it's virtual, we were able to do that. Effectively, we're going to try to do that back again next year on person. Maybe even October, we're going to try to do a festival in that's back to in person and maybe combine both, have a day for in person and a day for virtual because it's just opportunity to everybody.
The new way of things, the hybrid way of things, right? But I'm curious, since the festival started, Manuel, was, I think you said 8 years ago, can you talk about any success stories, like folks who have, you know, gone on in those careers that they were interested in, you know, because of the festival, perhaps, or at least because of their interest in that particular field?
Absolutely, absolutely. There have been kids that say, well, you know, that's not the festival. Now I like to be an engineer. Other kids they were telling because we had an optometrist, I say, now I want to be a doctor because I thought it's so fun. So it was nice to see those transformations. But also there were people who shared their story to actually inspire. Look at John Caleb. He came to a local school not far from here in Quincy Then went to the Central Middle School and Central High School, and then he became a doctor. Now he's a chief cartographer in NASA for the Mars project. He defines where the rover goes. That's a great story. Then we have also last year, we have an innovation woman founder that joined us in the festival. And also we have the, you know, the Tree Alliance, Quincy Tree Alliance in Quincy. And then one of them, she had in her office, in her poster, that one day she will meet Bobby, you know, because she was an admirer of her. And in the festival, you know, she got to meet her. So, you know, she cannot believe, say, well, you know, she was my dream to meet her because she was an inspiration to her. And she got in the festival to meet her. So it was nice to actually be able to meet people. And then had a, you're going to share your experience talking to Nobel laureates as June and Nick as well. But I'll let you guys share your experience also being in the same floor as, with a Nobel laureate. Dana, you go ahead.
I mean, sure. So I do you want me to just talk about myself, like my experiences? Sure. So I started in, I believe, sixth grade. My dad just told me about, you know, this science festival that was going on. He was like, you know, oh, you just did your science project for the science fair. Why don't you present that? So I started with that. And I've presented for, I think, 3 or 4 years. And then after that, I've transitioned into helping out with the other organizational aspects of it. Like when we first had it virtual, I helped to edit and make some of the videos that we were going to play during the festival. I also helped organize like the raffles and stuff like that. And yeah, you know, I've really enjoyed the experiences. I've gotten to meet, you know, Nobel laureates, like Manuel said. I remember, I believe it was sixth grade or seventh grade, I got to meet Mr. Jack Szostak. And I think he was a Nobel laureate in physiology, I believe. And, you know, I just really enjoyed the conversations I had with them. I felt they had like a level of knowledge and intelligence and almost like a humbleness to them that, you know, I really admired. And I try to bring that, you know, wherever I go, I try and bring that same level of humbleness and, you know, that approachability, I would say. So, you know, I'm really thankful for the experiences. Yeah.
What was your experiment that you first entered into the festival?
Oh, yeah. So my first experiment, I remember this very well, actually. My first experiment was self-inflating balloons. And it's basically where you take a balloon and you fill it with baking soda and you take like a plastic water bottle and you fill that with vinegar, and then you wrap the balloon on the cap on the top of the water bottle. And when you pull the balloon up, the baking soda and vinegar mix, and it creates like a carbon dioxide gas, and it makes the balloon inflate on its own. So that was my first experience. I remember that very well. It was really fun. And I think it all just kind of stemmed from there.
I found it interesting that, you know, you're helping out the festival with your communications skills that are just coming as you as common knowledge. It really had nothing to do with your interest in the science part of the festival.
Yeah, right? That was really, it was sort of just like a merging. It's, you know, that's what I love about the festival. I think it really merges different, pathways and different career paths, and where, you know, there's always multiple things that are incorporated into this. It's not just, you know, oh, it's just science or, oh, it's just math. It's a variety of things that come together to make it happen. And, you know, I think those experiences have really helped me in where I'm going next year. I think it's really going to help me.
Where are you going next year, Nan?
I'm going to Emerson College next year, and I'll be majoring in media and arts production, and I'll be minoring in sports communication and economics.
Okay, so completely different from.
Well, in a way, but I think the experiences I've had with the festival, it's taught me a lot of things and taught me many lessons, which, you know, I think will carry on into the future, and I'm really thankful for that.
Good for you. Good for
you. Thank you.
We should bring in Annika and Raj at this point and talk a little bit about their experiences with the festival, how you both got involved, and what you get out of it.
Right. Good morning. I started off, as I mentioned, with participating in the ERG group, STEM ERG group, which helps essentially, you know, propagate STEM activities or encourages STEM among the kids. I work at our distribution center, which basically is pretty crucial in sending about, you know, 70% of what Boston Scientific makes across the globe. Boston Scientific makes devices that medical devices. And the employees on the floor, definitely, you know, their kids, that to propagate STEM activities or encourage STEM was how we started off this group. But when we learned about the South Shore Science Festival, we thought that was one of the, you know, best avenues where we can, you know, share what Boston Scientific does, and also, recruit kids to our STEM group. Initial activity that we started was first activity that we started off with was a Lego robotics group. Mm-hmm. We used essentially Lego robots to simulate our distribution center, and we had about almost 13 to 15 kids meeting every couple of weeks, trying to program this robot as helping in the distribution center. So they see how the distribution center works, and that they would actually try to program the robot to help parts of the distribution center.
Okay.
It's not just one part, and we had several participants who come in, some DNA experiments. There are talks from various SMEs, engineers, scientists, like industrial engineers, research scientists, chemical engineers, all, we would bring them and then, create a forum where they can share their experiences. And of course, as part of the science festival, we would basically demonstrate, all this medical devices with a live body model. It's almost like a improved version of operation where we can see like a kidney retrieval basket or a stent. How does it work? Which part of the body does it help? Which diseases does it help combat?
Yeah. So really putting things in a tactile setting. So you can see and feel and hear what it actually does, as opposed to just reading about it.
Correct. And my background is in engineering, or I'm a software engineer, in project management. But essentially, I wanted to expose Anika, but then she started being a participant, and now she actually helps manage most of the program as well. Both in STEM at Boston Scientific and at South Shore Science Festival, she helps a lot. So, go ahead, Anika.
I started at the Boston Scientific STEM Club. That's where I started essentially, and I think it's important to there was a connection of all the different kinds of people. I have to say, so when I was about eighth grade is when I started, because and there were kids from like the 6 years all the way to like 18. And that group of people, it really introduced me to different kinds of sciences. I was always interested in science as a kid, even in school, that was my best subject, still is. And I think the festival allowed me to focus on science outside of school rather than actually learn to have fun with it a little bit. And I think that's a big part of right now, especially why I volunteer.
Okay. What grade are you in right now?
I'm a junior in high school.
Okay. All right. So you'll be starting to think about your continuing education soon as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Any thoughts to that right now?
Currently, I'm steering towards medicine, but nothing's set right now. So we're working on it.
Okay. For your student colleagues, Anika, who may be interested in science or maybe even just thinking about science, do you think that the festival is a good way to figure out if you like it or not?
I think for sure, because as Manuel said, there's over 70 presenters, right? Mm-hmm. So all these different people, they expose different kinds of sciences, because science is it's one big overarching topic, and all the different things. And obviously, I steered towards Boston Scientific because I was interested in medicine. I have friends, especially from my old middle school, who came, and they went towards the engineering part of it. And I think it's a big part of do you like this? And then you can find out what you like and go do the activities there. And you can spend your whole day in that one area and enjoy and meet new people there.
Right. So Manuel, do you think that a student has to have at least some of an interest in the STEM area to participate in the festival?
Well, it's always beneficial, but actually not. It's open to everybody because you can discover things, right? And as you mentioned, that also need a communication. And one of the things that we can encourage, one side is you have the creative mind that can create new technology, new innovations, but also you need to be able to communicate that, right? You can have a fantastic idea, but if you don't communicate and nobody knows about your idea, if you don't present it properly, people doesn't understand, all the benefits of your idea, all of the product. I think communication is super important. Now, some in this market, this age, you have to make it look nice and appealing for the customers. So you also have the designers that can make that, you know, products to look nice, right? So could be, and you can see that you can have a beautiful an electric car that is very nice, or another one. Both of them are functional, but some of them people will prefer more the you know, something that looks nice as well, right? So I think it's a room for everybody. Also, there are stories that, you know, people would like to write, right? You need the writers to be able to describe what you want to. So how you will be able to describe your products, describe your inventions, and describe your discoveries, right? So I think we need everybody to really be part of a successful story.
Yeah, well, that's the area that Nana's interested in, you know, incorporating that into this field as well, which, you know, makes me think. I know some of the, at least some private schools I've talked to, and add one letter to STEM, and they create STEAM because they add arts to this whole curriculum as well. And it really is, communication is a form of art, really.
Right. And we take advantage of that. We have added art, and you went on our website, southshoreScience.online, you will see the A as well, because sometimes, even from the beginning, we invited the New England Conservatory of Music, right, mm-hmm. to come, because we have the music. It's also transmitted with waves, right? You hear the waves, the sound comes through waves, the different instruments. Almost every year, we have an artist or a musician that comes there, because part of the sound is also science, right? You know, the instruments they play are technology. So all is a combination of art as well. So even telling a story is part of an art as well.
Yeah. So it is, unfortunately, it is virtual this year, you know, because of the pandemic. But how does it all work? It's, again, Saturday, April 23rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
To 3 p.m.
Oh, 3 p.m.
To 3 p.m.
3 p.m. Okay. The 8th Annual South Shore Science Festival. How do people participate?
Well, they can go to southshoreScience.online and make a reservation. You know, you just can click there, a browser, I click directly. They want to reserve their three sections. The first is at 10 a.m. for more like a younger kids, you know, normally between 6 and 12 year olds. Then at 12 to 2 p.m. is for kids between 12 and 16 year old. And after, and the last hour, 2 to 3 p.m. is more like a kids 13 plus and any adults. Certainly parents, you know, enjoy and welcome to join every session, because also learn. And one of our aims is also to have really the parents to be part of the experience with the kids, with the parents get involved with them in STEM activities, make it fun, and it's important for the kids, they enjoy the most. Because at this age, the kids really want to spend time with their parents. If their parents spend time with them playing and doing these fun activities, the kids will be more interested. And you can see the example of Annika or Nandan, because their parents spend a good time, they have very good quality families that they really encourage them to do that. And that's really what they motivate them. I think, you know, we can do as much, or the teachers can do as much, but the most important is that parents to be part of their lives. And if they get with us in those sessions, I think it's win for the kids and for the parents as well.
Sure. So who are some of this year's presenters, Manuel?
Well, this year we have Boston Scientific, we have Biogen, we have the Salt Systems, we have Positive ECS as well. We have Cubic, which is a company here in Quincy for entrepreneurs. We have San Agatha School. We're going to have John Keenan as the senator, going to be giving the speech as well. We have Patrick McDermott, who is the sheriff, Norfolk, Cherry County. Taki Chan, who is the House of Representatives. Nina Liang, which is in the Council at Large. They will give a presentation. So they're going to be full of activities, but, you know, saying it's a reduced number because we only have a single channel to communicate. But So we look forward. We're trying to do live again this year, but with Omicron came in December and January, we have to revert back to do virtual. Now it's open, but it was, you know, kind of a rush to get that. So we do virtual now. Hopefully we can do an open one either October or next year.
Okay. Is there any cost at all to participate?
No, it is free. It's always free. You know, it's free, you know. We have the digital support of companies like Apple Scientific, Positive, ECS, that will help us to make it possible to bring that free for them.
And because it's virtual, will it be available after the festival for folks, you know, to view afterwards?
Yes, we're going to record it, and we're going to put that available on our website. Even if you want to go to our website, you can see previous festivals. Some of them are the recordings there, and other ones are pictures that you can enjoy. You link to the previous, all the previous festivals as well. SouthshoreScience.online.
Okay. Anything else we should let folks know about right now?
Yeah. You can find us there, or can find us in Eventbrite. Really appreciate, Joe, your time. You're really very important part of the festival as well.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're happy to let the community know about this, and we hope that they will participate. The nice thing is, because it is virtual, they can be anywhere and still take part in it. Is there any kind of, maybe I should ask Nan or Annika this, are there any kind of technical requirements that folks need in order to participate?
No, I don't know about technical requirements, but there is an Instagram page, South Shore Science Team, which you can find the Eventbrite. It's easier to access from there.
And all you need is a phone or, you know, computer or a tab or, you know, any, you can join the festival with any of those devices. So absolutely, you know, yeah. And Manuel said, this has definitely, you know, going virtual. Now it's a two-way, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It allowed us to, you know, participants from, you know, various, not just South Shore, but across the country and across the globe, you know, participate in this festival.
Right, as we saw last year, across time zones even, right?
Exactly. Right, right. We are, you know, and we are able to do it. You know, we are actually in Pacific Coast, you know, West Coast today, you know, but saying thank you for, you know, allowing us to be part of this, you know, interview. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Nan, anything you'd like to add?
No, I think they took the words out of my mouth. I do believe it is on Zoom, I believe. So I'm sure by now all of us would have Zoom at this point after the last 2 years, but you do need Zoom to access the festival. But yeah, that's all I'd say. You know, please come, you know, enjoy. It really is a great experience. I would highly recommend it.
Okay, very good. And congratulations and good luck to you and your future endeavors as well.
Thank you.
Raj and Annika, thank you. Manuel, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Joe. Always a pleasure. Thank you. Appreciate the time as well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.